Greetings and welcome once again, all of you critical thinkers out there, to Throttle Up. This is a radio show that showcases critical thinking and is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. Now, all aboard the Throttle Up Express, powered by High Velocity Reason. And I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired. And as I mentioned in all shows, I'm a naval aviator and pioneer in the field of critical thinking and high velocity reason. And as part of my aviation career, I was involved in what you might call the Top Gun School. And as part of that schoolhouse, I was dealing with, on a regular basis, critical thinking skills for air combat pilots. After I retired from the Navy, I eventually went to work for a large airline and essentially did the same thing, teach critical thinking skills to airline pilots, and my team was the first ones to do that. And so we learned a lot along the way. And as a result of that, we came up with this idea for Throttle Up, which is, okay, so we did that. Now let's get the word out. Do we want it to stay within the small-knit group that we call aviation, or do we want to get it out there into the broader population? And the answer to that question was, well, let's get it out there and see if it resonates. And if it does, then let's turn this into some kind of a program, product, series of products, which is what we're doing here in Throttle Up, and also the books and the articles I write and the videos that I produce and stuff like that. Okay, now, before I continue, I wanted to mention that this is a special edition of Throttle Up. So this show, and we're planning on three special edition shows. So if you're listening to this, I guess you could consider yourself to be fairly lucky, because these three shows that we call special edition shows is going to highlight the critical thinking model. So this show is part one of the critical thinking tutorial, which we will continue in part two and part three. Like I said, we're planning on three parts to this. Not exactly sure, because it may go beyond that, but I believe it's at least going to be three parts. All right, so this is a special edition of Throttle Up. And so let me complete some of the lead-in stuff to this show as a way of introducing new listeners. Our tagline for Throttle Up is Accelerate Beyond the Ordinary, and our motto is to employ high-velocity reason to achieve high-octane performance. Our key performance objective here is to provide viable solutions to our most pressing problems so as to reliably achieve mission success. Our mission statement is to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking, and to never relinquish this power to anyone. All right. So our mission statement continues to increase our abilities in the areas of innovation and creativity illuminated by the intentional application of critical thinking and, when called for, high-velocity reason. Now, our website is throttleupradio.com. That's throttleupradio.com. Now, shortly, or soon, hopefully very soon, we're going to have available to the website visitors a critical thinking model posted. It's going to be in terms of a, or in the form of a slide deck, if you will, a series of slides. I think there are 55 slides to this critical thinking model tutorial. So we are going to have the tutorial up on the website fairly soon. We just have to do a few more fairly minor technical things, and then it should be posted on the Throttle Up Radio website. And finally, the audio engineering services for this show and other shows is provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado. And that's a rather small and adorable mountain community right outside of Denver. Well, it's in the foothills, but I call it a mountain community. It's worth a visit. Also, Evergroove Studios is worth a call if you are planning for the need for audio engineering services. All right, so all aboard the Throttle Up Express. And this is a place where all critical thinkers are welcome with open arms, and where America finds solutions to its most pressing problems. And now we are going to go to part one. Okay, this is part one of our special edition of Throttle Up, which is, like I mentioned before, this is the critical thinking tutorial part one also. But this is part one of our show for today, and it is it's an introduction to this thing we call the critical thinking model. Critical thinking model is designed for operators and managers, and also for the general population out there. If you really want to understand what critical thinking is from a practical standpoint, not from a theoretical standpoint or from an academic standpoint, but from a practical standpoint for something that you can actually apply on a daily basis, if you will, apply to your lives, to your work life, your private life, even your recreational life, particularly if you're doing some things that has some element of danger to it. There really isn't any substitute for critical thinking in our modern world. And so I guess I'm wondering why it's been so neglected if there really isn't any substitute for critical thinking. And there isn't. I know that sounds like a bit of a overkill in that statement, but it's true. And the more you realize it, the more you understand that we ought to be spending a lot more time on critical thinking in our lives and on other things. Okay, so this is a way of introducing critical thinking. And I guess we could say that this might be chapter one of part one, but Let me begin by posing three questions for all of us, and me included. All right. So, with respect to critical thinking, what is it? That's the first question. Second question is, why do I need it? And the third question is, how do I get it? Okay, we are going to answer that in the next three special edition episodes of Throttle Up. We're going to answer all those three questions. So as a and but I need to do a little bit of in the way of introduction, a little bit of preface material, if you will, to critical thinking. So let me start with that. All right. So this would be the preface to this tutorial, or forward, or a way to get us kind of like up to speed in why we're even dealing with something like this. So let me begin. Critical thinking is the only countermeasure I know of to confront and render harmless the intellectual nonsense masquerading as news that we are being bombarded with today. And I don't really say that lightly. This is a rather serious situation that has developed in this country, and the only way out of it, the only way out of this quagmire of nonsense, in my view, is the intelligent application of critical thinking to break out of this quagmire, to remove ourselves from this this sea of intellectual nonsense that is masquerading as news. Now, let me tell you what I'm thinking of. Okay, so here we go into the thinking apparatus of Kevin, or the brain of Kevin. And so here's what I'm thinking of. I would say that news, in quotes, news is no longer being delivered by most media outlets. Now, there are some exceptions, but not very many. They're not being delivered to inform, but they are now being used to shape public opinion. The goal of the media now is to shape public opinion in order to foster a climate by which the installation of the Great Society programs, also known as socialism, can be achieved without any significant opposition. In order to do this, the media outlets, or the media outlet organizations, with, like I said, few exceptions, becomes an active partner with the forces of socialism, and as such, they no longer celebrate the greatness and uniqueness of America, but become America's most vocal critic, establishing the proposition almost on a daily basis that America is flawed, dysfunctional, and in need of redemption, and for which they have already identified the path to redemption, namely more and more socialism, culminating in the eventual nationalization of almost everything. Now, okay, so that's pretty depressing, but the good news is this. Critical thinking can and should come to the rescue for the following reasons. One, the media is an active member of the propaganda machine and is not now even pretending to be a news organization. Number two, many social media sites are thinly veiled Autobots for socialism's agenda. Three, socialism requires the individual to relinquish his or her individual rights in favor of consensus, groupthink, social justice, and subservience. Subservience to a higher authority. Number four, America was founded on the belief that the individual is sovereign, and as such, turned authoritarianism on its head. That's particularly important. So keep that in mind. And that it all comes out of critical thinking. But now authoritarianism is, in fact, trying to make a comeback. But more and more citizens armed with critical thinking will, in fact, stand in their way. Authoritarianism and socialism are closely related, and as such, very little distinguishes them apart. Also, critical thinking is the tools, the means by which we can objectively examine socialism, aka communism, and firmly establish the proposition that socialism does not work because it cannot work. And we will get into that in the weeks and months ahead. But for now, we're going to stay to the course here and talk about critical thinking and what this all means. All right, so that's the end of part one. We're going to proceed now to part two, which is our storyboard for this special edition. So stay tuned. Okay, this is Throttle Up Part 2 for this special edition of the Throttle Up radio show. In this special edition, we call the Critical Thinking Tutorial, and this is the first in a series of shows that are dedicated to the discussion of the active discussion of the critical thinking model. Now, in our storyboard, this part two, the storyboard section of Throttle Up, this is the story of the critical thinking superhighway. So, all aboard the Throttle Up Express and prepare to be amazed as we enter the critical thinking superhighway. Now, part two and part three of this special edition is organized as follows. Chapter one is the introduction and background of the critical thinking model. Part two is, in fact, a critical thinking superhighway. We're going to travel on this highway together, and we're going to discuss some important aspects of critical thinking along the way. Chapter three is the critical thinking model for operators and managers. Another way of saying that is this is the critical thinking essentials. And finally, part three of the show will be the critical thinking in the workforce. Okay, so let us begin this storyboard section. And this will be chapter one of the storyboard for today. And chapter one is the background and introduction. In other words, how did we get here? What is all of this critical thinking? What is it? In how did it occur? And why is it important? And, you know, and we're going to answer those questions that we posed at the beginning. But before I go on, I did promise last week, and so I kind of need to address myself to the promise. I did promise my audience last week that I was actually going to discuss where high-velocity reason came from. And this is a great place to do it because this sort of sets the stage for the discussions to follow, which is where did critical thinking come from, or where did critical thinking essentials come from, and why is it important, and what can it do for us? So that's what we're going to be talking about, and then we're going to get into the specifics of critical thinking, but not in a complex way. And don't worry about it. This is not going to be overly dense or overly technical. It's actually, I promise to keep it fun. I promise to keep it understandable to the best of my ability. Okay, so as we address ourselves to this critical thinking tutorial, I want to first explain the background, how do we actually come to this idea, which I have mentioned on each show, which is called high velocity reason. All right. So that is an important aspect of critical thinking. It is not used all the time, but it is used in situations that are dynamic. That is, situations that are constantly moving or changing or both. And that's a way for us to mentally stay ahead of what is going on. Now, high velocity reason began as a serious inquiry. It began during the early stages of supersonic flight. And as it turns out, I was involved in that in sort of a big way, because on the early stages of my aviation career, I was selected to enter into the supersonic flight pipeline, if you will. And the supersonic flight pipeline, which was at that time, this is actually the early 1960s, and that wasn't a very big community back then. It was kind of small and close-knit. But nevertheless, I entered that supersonic flight pipeline. And we were dealing with some very, let's say, challenging issues, some fairly significant challenges, because technologically the airplane, or we had figured out, this country was the first to do it, America. America was the first to actually go supersonic and to build supersonic airplanes. And so while we had figured out technologically how to achieve supersonic flight on a regular basis, and I'm going to say sustained supersonic flight or repeated supersonic flight. Previous to this, we had some experimental airplanes, but they were kind of a one-shot deal where they go up and they would fire their rockets and they would go supersonic and then they would land, but they didn't actually take off. They were dropped from the belly of a big airplane or a mothership. So when we were able to build production versions of the supersonic airplane, they optimized the size and shape of the vehicle. They optimized the flight control system to be more robust in the subsonic and supersonic regimes. A dynamic stability of the airborne vehicle was a particularly important challenge, but they pretty much solved that with some rather creative and innovative ideas. Instability onset recognition was particularly important. It was not obvious all the time, and that's where the pilots had to come in and provide that important element. And of course, power augmentation was also a key. Now, with respect to human cognition, and this is where high velocity reason came from, human cognition was not strictly a technical issue and was not considered important for a while until later on. And then increasingly it became obvious that human cognition with respect to high-speed flight or high-speed operations was in fact important, and it ought to be a subject of serious inquiry. Optimizing cognitive operations for the high-speed regime was in fact a huge challenge. And as part of that, the high-speed regime initially was part and parcel of the air combat arena or the air-to-air combat arena, and that made it even especially difficult to understand how humans ought to think, not what humans were thinking, but how humans ought to think. Was there such a way, or was there such a term for optimizing our cognitive process while we are traveling through time and space in four dimensions, traveling through time and space, where things are rapidly changing. So that became one of the big challenges that I was faced with, and we had to solve it. Okay. So one of the things that we did, and we did this with very little, I guess you say, with a limited amount of knowledge of how humans ought to operate in this particular environment, this what we call a rapidly changing environment, dealing with four-dimensional reality. And let me just explain that a bit. Four dimensions is that you were dealing with X, Y, Z axes, and then, of course, the fourth dimension is time. So it's X, Y, Z plus time. So we're really operating in a cube, X, Y, Z, and then, of course, time is that the cube actually changes complexion and moves. So that's the fourth dimension, pretty complicated. It's kind of like four-dimensional chess, if there is ever such a thing. I know on Star Trek there was some mention of that. I'm not exactly sure it was a real game. Don't even know. Maybe it is. And if you, any of you out there know that four-dimensional chess is in fact a real game, let me know. You can go through the Red State Talk Radio website and leave a message. All right. So what did we learn? We learned a number of things that relates to high velocity reason. And one of the things we learned is that we have to stay ahead. Our thinking process has to move actually faster than the vehicle. So we have to be out in front of the vehicle. We have to be ahead of the vehicle. And the vehicle will be going extremely fast when we are dealing with supersonic flight. We're dealing with very, very high speed operations. So the thinking, the cognitive process, the mental agility of the crew member, the pilot, is rather important. And the pilot here, the crew member, has to stay ahead, way ahead of the airplane in order to perform quickly, because everything is changing so rapidly. If you don't get out ahead, if you're just reacting to the last stimulus, you're going to fall behind, and eventually you're going to wind up having a serious mishap or even an accident. And so it was imperative that we figure out how to stay ahead of the airplane. And that's where high velocity reason comes in, right? So the way we do that, and we're going to be discussing that in great detail in these tutorials, but it's going to be fun, I believe, and it's going to be interesting and, I think, quite useful for all of us. So that's the beginning of high-velocity reason. It began in the time frame, if you will. It began in the time frame where supersonic flight was still new. It was still more or less a novel thing in the course of human events. But we had to figure out how to speed up the thinking process to stay ahead of this rather rapidly moving object through time and space. Okay, so that's where high velocity reason came from. Then where did critical thinking that we understand, to the extent that we understand it today, where actually did critical thinking for operators and managers come from? Did it have a beginning? What was the, we could say here that what was the big bang with respect to critical thinking? When did it start and who started it and why was it started and what were they trying to achieve? All right, so I will answer that. And I have, in fact, mentioned the beginning before, but I'm gonna mention it again because I think it's particularly important. It began with Colonel John Boyd, United States Air Force. He lived from 1927 to 1997, and in fact, he was a fellow fighter pilot. And Colonel John Boyd, among other things, came up with, or you could also say invented, the first operationally useful critical thinking model. Up to this point, critical thinking was relegated largely to the classroom, to academia. It was more of a psychological discussion, but Colonel Boyd took it out of the classroom, put it in the cockpit. All right. And as you can imagine, when it goes from the classroom where you're dealing with a significant number of behaviors, a significant number of mental operations, and some of them gets a bit complex, it really has to be simplified when it gets into the cockpit, particularly if you're dealing with a cockpit attached to an airplane that's traveling rather fast. So you gotta keep it simple. And to his great credit, Colonel Boyd actually did that. All right, so who was Colonel John Boyd? Colonel John Boyd was born in Pennsylvania, and I believe it was Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If it was not, I apologize, but I think it was. And he was born in 1927, and he entered the United States Air Force in 1947, which was right after World War II, as an enlisted person. So he enlisted in the Air Force. He served for about 3 years, and he was honorably discharged. And then he went to college. He graduated from college and applied for and was accepted into the Air Force's Aviation Officer Candidate School. And so John Boyd went through flight training in the U.S. Air Force as well as officer training. And he graduated from flight training, and he went to Dallas Air Force Base, and that's out there in Las Vegas, right outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, a big, enormous, rather impressive Air Force Base in southern Nevada. Been there many, many times. Great place to visit, by the way, and they have a particularly interesting museum there, which I would encourage all who are in the area to visit. So John Boyd became a fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force, and he was flying the F-86, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But along the way, as it turned out, the Korean War was going on, and so John Boyd graduated from fighter pilot school, and he went to Korea. And he actually flew about 32 or 35 missions as a junior pilot, as a wingman, in Korea. And then after he finished that tour of duty, the Korean War ended, and he went back to Nellis Air Force Base, to their fighter weapons school. And he actually became quite an impressive and highly regarded instructor in the Air Force's Fighter Weapons School, and that would be an early version of Top Gun, if you will. And as a result of that experience, and well, let me say that John Boyd was there for, I think he was there for about 6 years in as an instructor pilot. As a result of that experience, John Boyd knew that he had to come up with a way to improve the thinking process of pilots, but it had to be simple. It had to be something that could be used quickly. It could be used effectively in most every situation that you would encounter, including those situations where there's really not a lot of time available to make decisions. But nevertheless, how do you make good, accurate decisions under conditions in which we call increased time compression? All right, so he figured it out, and he came up with what is called the OODA loop. All right, so O stands for observe. The first O stands for observe something or other. Be observant, if you will, and observe something. And then the second O is a little unusual, but it's particularly important, and it becomes an important part of our critical thinking model, which we will discuss shortly. But the second O in John Boyd's model is orientation. All right, so the first thing we do is observe. The second thing we do is we orient ourselves. Orient ourselves with respect to what? Well, that's a great question. We're going to get into that, but I guess the quick and dirty answer would be we orient ourselves with respect to what is actually going on in the environment that we are dealing with. All right, so the last show we talked about problem space awareness. All right, so that's it. Orient ourselves with respect to a particular problem space that is defined by our volume of interest. And so that becomes our orientation challenge. All right, so how do we orient ourselves with respect to the problem space, which contains the problem and also the operational environment that embraces or encompasses the problem, if you will? And then once we do that, once we understand where we are with respect to the problem, notice that we do not automatically jump to conclusions here. And that's particularly important. And that's one of the things that I want to bring out to the general population, and particularly those people that are concerned about our government, concerned about how we go about creating legislation, how do we go about functioning as a society with a government structure as part of our society. That's particularly important. And this has not been done very well. It hasn't. And so we are encumbered by poor legislation. We are encumbered by poorly functional government agencies, and we are encumbered by ridiculously complex rules and regulations. And so the way to get out of this quagmire of complexity, is to adopt critical thinking and to commit ourselves to being a nation of critical thinkers first and foremost. Okay, so we have two O's. We have observe, orient, and then the third one is D, and that stands for decide. All right, so after we understand what the problem is, let's formulate a response to the problem. So let's decide. Now, the first decision, this is, of course, a multiple decision tree, but the first decision is we decide whether or not we ought to do something. Okay, now in some cases, the answer is no, we shouldn't do anything because, one, we don't understand it enough, or two, if we did something, it might make things worse, or would likely make things worse, or three, it will resolve itself quickly, and so we don't really need to do something. It will naturally go away on its own, all right? And that's to what comes to mind here is this whole idea of climate change or global warming. I would suspect that we step back and consider the fact that maybe if in fact there is a problem, okay, I don't think there is, but let's just say for the moment that, okay, there may be a problem. Could it possibly resolve itself on its own? Is the planet Earth robust enough to resolve these so-called climate change episodes on its own? Okay, so D is decide. We decide to do something, and of course, if we decide to do something, then what? What should we do? Right. Now, obviously, in this particular model here, we got to make it pretty quick. We can't just ponder away for hours and hours to figure out what best to do. We have to be able to do it quickly. So we have to be able to decide under conditions of increased time compression. And how do we do that? That becomes a part of this whole operation here, this cognitive operation, which we call high velocity reason and critical thinking. All right, so decide is the key. And of course, the last one is act. So once we decide to do something, then we have to take action with respect to the decision that we have already made. Okay, so we decide to do that. That then becomes the starting point. So I guess you could say that the OODA loop that Colonel John Boy came up with, that's the point where which we start. That's our starting point for this critical thinking tutorial. That's our starting point for the show today, is that, okay, we have to start somewhere, and so we're going to start there. We will recognize and acknowledge that critical thinking has a very long history. It goes all the way back to the ancient Greek philosophers, as it turns out, or maybe even further than that, but we can trace it back at least to some of the ancient Greek philosophers like Aristotle and Plato and those people. And so it has a long and rather impressive history, but we're not going to start there. We're going to start at the OODA loop, because that's, in my view, that's the first attempt to make this operational, to operationalize it and make it useful for people that are actually operating and managing on a regular basis. Also, it's useful for folks that are initially trying to get into the workforce and trying to do something meaningful and productive and respond to the growing need out there for critical thinkers. More and more critical thinkers are needed to enter the workforce. Notice that I didn't talk about anything technical or academic. No, I didn't. And that is on purpose. We need more and more critical thinkers. And there's a crying need. I mentioned this in my article that it's recently been posted on the Red State Talk Radio website called Critical Thinking Goes Mainstream. You can also find it on my website, which is throttleupradio.com. Okay, so we begin our discussion with the OODA loop. And now let us just review that one more time, and then we're going to proceed to part three of this show. All right, so for review, the OODA loop, and it's a loop because it keeps refreshing itself, right? Once we make the decision and once we act, we have to go back to the beginning and keep observing whether the decision that we had just made, whether it seems to be playing out the way we expect it, the way we want it to. And so this thing is a continuous loop. So it's a continuously refreshing cognitive operation. Okay, so for review, O is to observe. So get yourself in a position where you can, in fact, observe what is going on in the real world. What is reality? What reality are you confronting? Or another way of saying that, we use this term often, which is clarify the actual. That's a critical thinking term, right? What is actually going on? Not what you think is going on, but what is actually going on becomes somewhat of a mental challenge, but we need to be able to rise to that challenge. We need to be able to figure it out. Second O in the OODA loop is to orient ourselves with respect to the problem orient ourselves with respect to the issues that are coming forward, orient ourselves with respect to the problem space. So another way of saying that is, what is our problem space awareness? Is it accurate? Is our problem space awareness or situation awareness with respect to the problem space, is that accurate or is it not? And we better make sure it's accurate, because if it's not accurate, then everything else is a waste of time. And this really is probably one of the key features of critical thinking. The key feature is, you better be solving the right problem, okay? So let's figure out what the problem is. We have to do it quickly here, but there are ways to do that. But let us figure out what the right problem is. We do that by orienting ourselves, or the orientation step. The third step here in this four-step process that Colonel Boyd has laid out is decision. Make the decision to do something. And then if you are going to do something, then what is it, to decide exactly what it is that you ought to do. And then finally, to take action, to carry out that decision that you made, that is an informed decision based upon the two previous steps, or the two O's, if you will. Okay, so that's the OODA loop. That's our starting point as we continue our discussion of critical thinking on the special edition of Throttle Up, which we call the Critical Thinking Tutorial. And this happens to be part one. Now let's go on to part three of this show. And that's coming up. Okay, this is part three of Throttle Up. And this Throttle Up show is a special edition of Throttle Up. And on this show, and I believe three more others, we're going to be talking about the critical thinking model. So this is the critical thinking tutorial, and this is part three of our first session of the critical thinking model. All right, so the first thing I want to say is that as we enter this, what I call the critical thinking superhighway, right, this is a journey that we're going to take. So it's kind of like all aboard the Throttle Up Express. We're going to be entering the critical thinking superhighway, and as such, we're going to be encountering certain things along the way. All right, so as we encounter things, what are they? They're going to be information, or informational kiosks, if you will, that will help us to gain a better understanding of critical thinking, and hopefully a better appreciation for it, because it is quite powerful. That's really the reason for this radio show, Throttle Up. And the power, the effectiveness, the relative ease by which it can be applied, I think will amaze all of us. And I'm, of course, I'm continuously amazed by the power of this and how it brings our power of reason up to a very high level of capability. Now, the critical thinking highway is powered by innovation and creativity. So let us begin our journey together. The first thing that we encounter on the critical thinking highway, or the critical thinking superhighway, is this. Critical thinking, and I have mentioned this before, but I guess it should be repeated. Critical thinking is a skill that can be learned. It lends itself to practice. and when used with intent, will produce amazing results. And I also mentioned earlier in this show that critical thinking is our way out of this intellectual nonsense, this quagmire of nonsense and stupidity that we are encountering in much of the media and much of the political aspects of our lives and what America is going through right now. So critical thinking is the antidote to intellectual nonsense. It's the countermeasure to it. And it isn't skill that can be learned and lends itself to practice. And when used with intent, and that's, I guess, pretty important because it's not a casual thing. It really is a serious discipline. And so we want to use it with intent. And when we do, you'll be amazed at what it's able to do for all of us. Okay, so that begins our journey. And the second informational kiosk we encounter is this. We are going to clarify the actual, and we are going to employ reason. And finally, once we do that, we're going to perform with precision and win. So, critical thinking motto becomes clarify, reason, and win. All right. So, that is the beginning of our journey. And now, I promise we're going to continue this on the next two, maybe more, shows. And we're going to get into, we're going to complete the journey on the critical thinking superhighway. We will do that. So just stay tuned. I noticed by my trusty clock here that we're coming up to the end of another Throttle Up show, and this happens to be a special edition, and I hope it has been informative. I hope it is wet your whistle. I hope it has. It's kind of intriguing because I hope it makes you want to stay tuned for the next couple of shows because I think it'll be well worth your while, all of you out there. I do think it's particularly important, and it will bring us some level of comfort, some level of happiness to realize that, yeah, there's a way out of this silliness, there's a way out of this intellectual nonsense that we're being bombarded with, and it's fairly simple, all right? It's not hard to do, but we have to do it. It's something that we have to do, which is engage ourselves and commit ourselves to critical thinking. All right, so that completes another Throttle Up episode for this week. And I would like to close by thanking all of you out there, all of my listeners. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying tuned for this whole show. And I appreciate your participation in Throttle Up. It's been a distinct privilege for me to be here on this side of the microphone, and to be discussing these issues with you. Also, I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for giving us the opportunity to provide you with this show each and every weekend. It's actually on three times each weekend, so there are plenty of opportunities to listen to Throttle Up. Thank you, all you veterans out there. Thank you for your service, and I am proud to be part of your amazing group. So, I will see you all next time.